Fourth and final hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarlane, that's me. Chase McCabe.
Hello.
That's him. Now Adam Vinken from The Athletic.
That's me.
Adam, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Thanks for coming in. So how – you live in the downtown area.
I do.
So how was everything affected in your area?
I was very lucky. My wife and I sustained no damage to our apartment. We're okay. The puppy's okay. But it's just frightening, I guess, for lack of a better phrase or term, to think that we don't live very far from Germantown. I'm sure some people who have been following the news on social media have seen a picture of the Music City Cleaners in Germantown with its roof yep. just torn off. That's where I get my dry cleaning. I was there yesterday. It's like a 3-minute drive from my apartment. And it's just crazy to think that while my family's okay, that less than a mile away, there's just sheer devastation. It has been hard to see just because, you know, you heard the storm last night. We all did. You know, it was loud. It was powerful. You know, the dog didn't like it. He was barking a lot. He hid under the bed. We got the tornado warning on the phone, but we didn't really think anything of it and didn't realize until this morning when we saw the news just how bad it was. And we're very fortunate that nothing happened to us. So I feel terrible for everybody who's been affected by this, whether you own a business or your house has been damaged or you've lost a loved one, hopefully not. Of the, 22 people who have been confirmed dead so far? Hopefully you're not one of those 20, you know, related to any of those 22 people. That's just awful. So I hope everybody's doing okay. And you two have done a great job of as the listener said before the break on Twitter, you've done a great job of keeping everybody informed. And perhaps now we can maybe take their minds off of it by talking about some sports.
I don't know why we have this mentality, but you know, the two of us left. You left Bridgestone Arena last night. I even passed along several times.
Yeah.
On postgame. Hey, you know, just we're hearing that maybe some severe weather could be headed our way. It's coming in from the west, and I don't know when it's supposed to be here. But just, you know, be aware, be cognizant of it. But still, no realization of really was about to happen. It is that time of year. But the two of us go strolling downtown to our cars, and you know, get home and get dressed casually. You can't go to sleep. You go, in my case, go upstairs, you turn on the television. It just happened to be on one of the local stations, which they were going wall to wall weather. That did get my attention. I was like, oh, okay. So wow, I checked all the other stations. I was like, oh, they've gone full wall to wall weather. So I watched it for 10-15 minutes, still yet again not grasping what, you know, was about to happen. And I eventually, 10-15 minutes, I turned away and started watching sports programming, just checking other things out. And like I said, just like everybody else, woke up very early this morning to tons of messages on your phone and realizing, oh wow, they're still doing wall-to-wall coverage and something really bad has happened.
Yeah. It wasn't until this morning when my wife woke up to go to work that, you know, my mother reached out to her, and then I spoke to my mom because she had seen things on the news, and people that she knew that I lived in Nashville were reaching out to her to make sure that we were okay. But, you know, I've been scrolling through some of the pictures and thinking of, you know, the places that I frequent. A lot of the places that have been destroyed are places that I spend a lot of time. I mean, I was just in the Five Points area a couple nights ago, and I believe the establishment that I went to, you know, I don't know if it was leveled, but it certainly was damaged.
Right.
And it's just hard to, you know, I've seen some sort of before and after shots of a lot of businesses. We've seen it throughout the day on social media of places in East Nashville, you know, what they were like before, what they are now, and it's just unfathomable, like that something so quick.
Like I was just over there too.
Yeah, something so quick and so I don't want to say unexpected because there were warnings, but just something that can happen so quickly can turn into, you know, can devastate a community for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to say this. I won't do my full rant, but I do want to put this out there.
You're right. I forgot to go back to that.
No. Well, you've done a great job of bringing up, you know, the coverage that not only the television stations have had, because they've been wall to wall. I don't know if they've taken a break since last night. What we have done today, you know, starting with the overnight of carrying Fox's coverage and the morning show and now this show. You know, part of what we do as a media outlet is we're supposed to inform you, the listener, and keep you in the loop of things going on. And I saw Twitter last night of people complaining that Channel 2 had gone into weather coverage about things going on in Kentucky. Well, that's their viewing area. That's their job. And so for people that are, I really, really want to say something else, but complaining because you missed The Bachelor, maybe take a step back today and think next time
Maybe reassess.
Yeah. Think next time before you want to be and moan.
The priorities in your life.
Right. You can go, you know what? You can stream The Bachelor. You can go back and watch The Bachelor. So.
There's some people that can't because they just lost everything.
Right. Think about that. Next time you want to get on Twitter and hide behind a keyboard and complain about somebody doing their job and trying to inform, maybe you should think about that. So, and I bring it up because, again, part of the job is informing. I bring it up because it really pissed me off to read that and to see just how selfish some people can be. 22 people lost their lives. So think about that next time.
And a whole lot of people lost everything.
Right.
And schools, and churches, and businesses, communities were affected today.
Right.
Like, they've just lost their livelihood. Everything they have, gone. Yeah. Maybe think about that. Dr. Glenda Glover, who I just had on recently at Bridgestone Arena during Predators pregame, because it was TSU night, I brought up that TSU, their campus, was affected. Remember, Chase, I said, I'm pretty sure they're on spring break. She has tweeted out that, indeed, they are on spring break. So that was correct. And that she believes that there are no reported injuries and that everybody seems to be safe and sound, even though, I guess, their agriculture buildings were totally destroyed at TSU. So I guess there were 4 agriculture buildings that were completely leveled over there. So our thoughts to the folks over on Tennessee State's campus, although it's good, they're on spring break. A lot of people were gone. It doesn't seem like, according to Dr. Glenda Glover, that there are any injuries. But we are thinking about the folks over at TSU. Like I said, we were supposed to talk to Brian Penny Collins earlier in the show. TSU will kick off the OVC men's basketball tournament in Evansville, Indiana, tomorrow night. And we were going to talk to him and, you know, ask him about campus, but we have not had working phones all day. Luckily, we have power, but we have not had phones. You are able to text if you would like, 615-737-1025. All right, Adam, we will indeed talk hockey with you on the other side. The Predators have another big one tonight in Minnesota against the Wild. A big week that started last night against Edmonton, tonight versus Minnesota up there, back home Thursday versus the Stars, first time since the Winter Classic, and then back in Dallas for a little matinee hockey on Saturday. So we'll talk to Adam Vingan about all that and more. He's with The Athletic. We do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Becker on Darren, Donick, and Chase. EF3 tornado coming through our area in the middle of the night. 22 confirmed deaths because of it. Nashville, Putnam County, Mount Juliet. That's part of course, Wilson County. All hit hard. Germantown, East Nashville, all devastated. Adam, you live downtown. We talked about that. Predators, not a good night. Tied at 3 after 2 periods. Nick Pennino with his 18th. with just under 5 minutes to go in the period. The Predators responded after falling behind 2-0 after one to tie it up a three. They get goals from Roman Josi and Cali Yarncroke and then Nick Bonino. And it was tied at three. It was a good period for them. And then in a span of just over 5 minutes, 5 minutes and 13 seconds to be exact, five goals by the Oilers. I mean, Leon Draisaitl, we knew of their two-headed monster. They've got a two-headed monster that centers their top two lines, and that monster now has, let's see, Leon Draisaitl now has 107 points on the year, and Connor McDavid has 94 points on the year. We just started March.
Yeah, they're elite talent.
Both with 5 points last night.
I think one of the more interesting things that John Hines said last night after the game, and I give him credit that he did not sugarcoat anything he saw last night. But one thing that he said to me that was particularly interesting is he was asked by an Edmonton reporter about Leon Draisaitl, and he ended up bringing it back to Connor,
both of them, yes.
To Connor McDavid, and talking about how when the heat gets turned up and the pressure is on, they deliver. And we all know that. They're incredible hockey players. And I wasn't the only one to notice this.
Oh, you weren't, because I brought it up in postgame after we played his press conference.
I definitely wasn't the only one to notice this. But if that was not a subtle wink, wink, nudge, nudge at his top forwards, that's as close as it gets without blatantly saying it.
He brings everything back to his team. That's what I like about it. He'll give credit where credit is due, but if his team has done something wrong, and that's what he said in his opening press conference, right, it's cut and dry with him.
Right. I've appreciated his ability to verbalize his thoughts about his team. It's much appreciated from this reporter. But that stuck out to me. And just with that game being 3-3, you know, the Predators fell down 2-0 in the first period. They tied the game with 2 goals in 14 seconds, correct? Early in the second period, they fell behind at 3-2. They tie the game 3-3. You're expecting a tight, perhaps one-goal game. And then all of a sudden, as John Hines said, they got punched in the face. And there are a lot of difficult conversations that have to come out of that game for a variety of reasons. But to me, it was incredibly uncomfortable to watch Pekka in that last night.
Yep.
In general, I get terrible secondhand embarrassment. And what I mean by that is, if you're watching a television show, there used to be this show on MTV called Made, where, you know, these teenagers who wanted to be, you know, athletes one of the most common subjects were nerdy guys wanted to be made into ladies' men so they could ask the cute girl to the prom. And they would set them up with a coach of some kind, and they would go through, you know, making them into ladies' men as much as one could. And there was a lot of like cringe-worthy stuff, and I could not physically watch the show because I was so embarrassed by what was happening on the television. And it wasn't quite that level, but by the time the eighth goal went in, like, it was physically uncomfortable for me to watch that. And I wrote yesterday about whether or not we are witnessing the end of the Pekka era in Nashville, and I wrote a follow-up today where, you know, just to state the headline, Pekka isn't Pekka anymore. I just think his age has finally caught up to him. He is still very much capable of putting together vintage performances. We talked about the game in Chicago a couple of weeks ago where if it weren't for him, they would not have gotten the point. We think about one of the games against St. Louis during the home-and-home. Still very much able to play as he did for most of his career. But, you know, it can be argued just based on some of the underlying advanced metrics that he is one of the worst goaltenders in the NHL this year. And I think this team's best chance of winning and making the playoffs is playing Juuse Saros as much as possible. And it's a hard conversation to have because of how much Pekka means to this organization, how much he means to this city and this community. But I think it's time for him to as best they can step aside and let UC take the reins.
I don't really know why that's real a conversation piece, and I'll tell you why. How many games did they play in February?
How many games did they 14. Play in February? Okay, 14.
14. How many starts did Pekka have in February?
Five?
Four.
Four.
Four starts in 14.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm getting at is I think John Hines has already done that.
Right.
I mean, UC Saros had 10 of the 14 starts in February, and I think we all thought that Pekka was going to start last night. It's a back-to-back situation.
Right.
It's Edmonton. He's had a lot of success against Edmonton over the years. But I guess what I'm getting at is that, you know, John Hines has been very consistent. We've seen something different since he took over, right? Ice time increased or decreased, not by your contract, not by what line you're on, but by your production, right? And mm-hmm. if you were producing and you were playing the right way, it went up. If you weren't, it went down. And usually when it goes down, that means your shifts go down. That means maybe you're on a different line. We saw Matt Duchesne center a fourth line for a couple games with Victor Arvidsson on that line. We saw Ryan Johansson center a third line. And I guess what I'm getting at is it doesn't just stop at forwards, right?
No.
And so I think he's already been doing that because UC Saros started 10 of 14 in February.
Right. It's just – I agree. I mean, the transition is clearly underway. It's just – there's a certain gravity to the idea that that eventually, you know, Pecorine, just like any professional athlete, is going to see his talents diminish. But when it's just because of his stature.
It's uncomfortable talk about. It's uncomfortable for anybody who's spent more than 5 minutes around right. Pecorine right. to have this conversation. It's very uncomfortable because he's the most likable human being you'll ever come across. And so whether it's a coach, whether it's a player, a teammate, or a member of the media, or a fan, or someone in the organization, it is hard to talk about this because he's so incredibly liked for good reason. He's an unbelievable – while he's been a great goalie, he's even a better person.
Yep.
Yep. And I think there are two people in that organization that you put in the same category that it's hard to talk – bad about him. It's hard to criticize him. Pekka's one, David Poile's the other. I mean, they've done so much that we always will look at them no matter what. And look, I mean, if we have plenty of time to have the conversation of if this is it for Pekka or whatever, the legacy is what the legacy is. I mean, he has done so much as the goaltender for this organization. You don't want to see it end the way, you know, he played last night by any means, but you know, that's it's very hard for all of us. It's uncomfortable because, number one, he's been rock solid his entire career. He's been that guy that if the team wasn't playing well around him, I mean, it's like Chicago. We gave him credit for that. He got that point. He got the point in Chicago because the team did not play all that great, but Pekka was able to earn that point. So many times he did that.
I mean, how many times have I brought up on this show? Pekka Rinne, it's undisputable. He is going to go down as the most popular Predator ever. And I don't know. I don't think that's going to.
No doubt.
That's not going to change anytime soon in the foreseeable future. He is going to be in 2+ decades of hockey in this town. He's going to go down as the most popular Predator ever. And there's been some popular ones. Shea Weber, Jordan Tutu, for different reasons. You don't scoff. Don't laugh. At that time, Jordan Tutu, his popularity was through the roof.
I still have a tutu whistle.
Many years in this market. Remember, it was a totally different market, different roster configuration, and mm-hmm. He is up there at the top. But nobody is at Pekka level. It's just not. So with that being said, Adam, he had unfortunately his worst game ever in his career last night. He's never had a game like that. There's 15 games this month. This is the busiest month of the year. February was the second busiest. But so I told you, 14 games in February, now 15 in March. As they they wind down their regular season, how do you think John Hines is going to play out? There's a lot of back-to-backs left on the schedule because it's very compact. How do you think it's going to play the rest of the way out? What is there, 18 left? Is that right?
17
left?
17. And they have four more back-to-back sets.
After tonight.
After tonight. Yep. They have four more. It was before the game yesterday. It was 10 of 18. 10 of their remaining 18 games were parts of back-to-back. So, yeah, 17 games left. Four more back-to-back sets after they play tonight against the Minnesota Wild. And if the recent trend continues, I imagine UC Saros is going to continue to get the majority of the starts. And, I mean, we talked about this on pregame, Darren, and I know I was probably getting a little bit ahead of myself. But if this team finds a way to make the playoffs, you know, if that trend continues, and we want to talk about the quote-unquote passing of the torch, if UC Saros starts a playoff game over Pecorine, that's as much proof as you need, considering it's been 12 years since a goaltender other than Pekka has started a playoff game for the Nashville Predators. We have a month to go before then, so don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but I see no reason, as long as they both stay healthy, that UC shouldn't start two-thirds of the games down the stretch. That's, you know, I would say...
That's probably a fair assessment.
10 of 17? 9 of 17?
More,
maybe?
I think it'll probably be maybe even more of that. Don't you think? I mean, depending on how this plays out the rest of the way. I mean, there's a lot of huge games still in front of them. I mean, I wish they had Detroit 14 more times of the 17, but that's not the case.
Wouldn't it be nice if they were still in the Central?
Yeah.
Yes. And they've played them, what was it back then, 7 times?
Yeah.
I think you played teams in your division 7 times a year.
I mean, UC Saros has a .933 save percentage in his past 10 starts.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go with that.
Well, I just think it goes to what we've been saying. I mean, at least John Hines has been consistent with his message. It's up and down the roster. He's basically telling every position you will earn your time. And if you're playing well, you're going to be in there.
And I think some of it, Darren, is in this is probably so obvious. I think it's actually a good thing that John Hines came in with his own clean slate, because I don't think Peter Laviolette would have done what we've been seeing since John Hines got here. He would not have cut his top forwards ice time. He would not have gone to UC Saros for the majority of the month of February. John Hines, at least at this moment, doesn't really have a strong connection to. Well, I don't want to rephrase that, because I don't want it to sound like they're not connecting. But he doesn't have any long-standing relationships with these players yet. So there's a little bit more flexibility when it comes to, you know, towing the hard line with these guys. And I think that's a good thing. I think some of these guys need that tough
love. Are you saying because of all the battles that they all went through together, including the head coach, and how everything has played out on his watch, that there was so much investment over the years, and you know, I don't need to run through and all the success, that it was hard to crack the whip when need be? Is that what you're saying?
I think so, and I think that's
interesting.
I think that's only natural.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if that's I don't want to establish that as fact, but you know how we are with people that we care about and love. You know, you're willing to give a little bit more. You're willing to bend a little bit more.
Absolutely.
For people that you're closer to.
No doubt.
I think Peter Laviolette, not to say that he did not hold his players accountable, but I do think he gave them a longer runway on some things. John Hines has said absolutely not to that. And I think that's what this group needed. I do think an argument can be made that perhaps some complacency set in, and now John Hines is shocking the system a little bit. So I do think that the fact that we're seeing the transition, look, when the transition happens, as it's happening now, or whether or not it's happening now, there's not going to be any sort of coronation ceremony. You know, they're not going to, you know, Pecorine is not going to get a Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki send-off tour where he goes to every stop and people are giving him jerseys and gifts and stuff. It's just going to happen. Like, there's going to be no announcement. It's just going to happen. And that's what we're seeing right now. It's happening now. And there's not going to be a thank you, Pekka, kind of thing, or, you know, anything like that. It's just going to happen. And that's what's happening.
Something else that happened last night was some of the words on how John Hines presented the way that game played out, the way it unfolded. Got to be honest, it certainly grabbed a lot of people's attention, including us. Jace, we were doing post-game as the team was hustling to get out of the arena, get to the airport, and get to Minnesota. We'll play some of his comments after the 8-3 loss to Edmonton on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John, why did the third period unravel in the way that it did?
Well, we didn't come out with any intensity, no emotion, lackadaisical with the puck, soft in puck battles. I think that's something we're going to have to discuss tomorrow, of how we can come out in a tie game at home and have zero passion, focus, intensity level, games on the line. So, you know, that's what happened. I mean, lots of times you'd like to give your opponent credit, but I thought the third period for us was no good.
There you go, head coach John Hines. That was one of several layers of very candid and strong words about his team last night and the effort that he clearly did not like in the third period. I mean, it's take it however you want. That is the head coach calling out the room. Just this. I don't know how else you could view it any other way. Am I off on this?
No, and I brought this up on postgame last night that I appreciate, and Adam, you and I have had many conversations about this over the years, but I appreciate a head coach he's going to be honest. I mean, he's not going to give you any, BS, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's what you want out of him. And one thing that I think we always didn't like with Peter Laviolette is there sometimes there'd be coach speak, or sometimes he just didn't want to talk about something or answer
a question.
Or he would
just shut down and not answer anything, or just not even talk.
And different coaches do things in different ways. That's fine. John Hines is getting in front of this. He told us from the very beginning, it's black and white with me. There's not gray area. I know what I expect out of my players, and if I get what I expect, then great. If I don't, then you're going to see your minutes reduced. You're not going to play. And guess what? He's done that. And so Adam asks a very simple question. You know, what do you think happened in the third period? And I liked his answer. It was very honest. It was, you want to give credit to the other team, but we didn't play well in the third period. And so I think that's something that's important. And it's, what else did I say last night? Nick Saban, prime example. Whenever Nick Saban goes on one of his rants in a media press conference,
he's talking through the media to his players.
Right. It's not directed at the media. It's directed at his players. And he's sending a message. And I felt like John Hines did that last night.
Adam, what did you think? You were there.
Yeah, I agree with Chase. As I was saying before, I appreciate the fact that John Hines is willing to be so cut and dry with his analysis of his team. And he touched on a lot of things. I think we're going to hear another one of his clips up here in a minute. When our friend Robbie Stanley asked him about why does this keep happening with a veteran group, and he also asked when is push come to shove with his top forwards, and we talked about how he was gushing, for lack of a better term, over Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. I think the other things that John Hines said last night about why this team that has so much experience is having these issues, and why he needs his top forwards to perform. Again, we're quite enlightening.
So another thing that John Hines talked about was said he liked that, they had some push, but they also, and he has said this before, they got what they deserved. And here's what he said. Here's another layer to John Hines last night in postgame.
How surprising is that, given the fight you had in the second to come back in this game?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I just thought the whole game, we had some pushes, but we didn't sustain anything tonight. I think tonight we got what we deserved. We had a couple pushes. We come out and tie the game early in the second, but it's a short little situation where we actually played a couple shifts where we played the right way. We got the puck in. We were hard on the puck. We got the puck to the net, and then I think after the timeout, I think they took over the game again in the second period. So I would say overall in general, it wasn't just a third period. Tonight's intensity level, passion level, engagement level, we played an easy game, looked like we wanted an easy game, and that's not going to win this time of year. So You know, we got punched in the face today pretty good and certainly got what we deserved. If we show up to play like we played tonight, then that's going to that's lots of times what the result's going to be this time of year.
And then Robbie Stanley from NHL.com, and who you can hear weekdays on Morning Drive from 6 to 10 a.m., did a good job of following up with that and essentially asked John Hines, well, why does this keep happening?
John, this isn't the first time that you've had comments like that. How does that happen in a game where you've got less than 20 games left in the regular season in this group? Filled with veterans, like how does this continually happen?
That's a good question. I think that's something that you know, you have to continually work on to figure out where, you know, as you said, you're coming in, you got a big back-to-back, we've played well recently, and then it just seemed like tonight that for whatever reason, and that's on me too, I got to find out. I mean, I'm coaching the team, so why did we want to have an easy game, and why did we come out in the third period with absolutely no intensity of effort? And that's something that, you know, we got to figure out going into tomorrow.
That's a lot to digest right there from the head coach. So, yep. Adam, I'm going to start with you. What did you make of those two clips?
Well, I like that John Hines last night also put it on himself a little bit too and saying, I'm the coach. You know, it's my responsibility to get these guys playing the way that we need to play. And if they're not ready, that's a reflection of me, which means I need to do my job better. So he wasn't passing the buck, which I thought was important. But it goes back to what we were saying before, that, you know, I think what is good about John Hines not having any prior relationships with any of his current players is that, you know, while he is doing all he can to build relationships with them, because he's going to be coaching them for at least a couple years, you know, there's no concern about hurt feelings. I guess, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like what we were talking about before. Like, Peter Laviolette had such a connection to this group that maybe it may have been hard for him to bend a little bit when he needed to, or crack the whip, as you said, Darren. But John Hines isn't messing around. He understands he was hired to turn this team around and get them to the playoffs. And despite everything that's happened to this team this year, and we can go down the list, we don't have enough time, they're still in a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
So the season's not over. And, you know, John Hines, as I said, was hired by David Poile to get this team back up to speed. The record recently has shown that they are at least heading in that direction, the last two games notwithstanding. And I'll be very curious to see what happens tonight. I mean, Roman Josi said after the game they have to wake up angry. You know, if they come out tonight and kick the Wild and win convincingly and in a huge game, you don't feel so bad about yesterday. But I'm going to be incredibly concerned if their effort level is not up to par after what happened last night. I think tonight, more so than last night, is going to show us what this team truly is made of, if they actually will respond to being challenged and being embarrassed last night, which they were, and play a good game in another meaningful game. I think it's good that it's a meaningful game. It's not like they're going to play Detroit or they're going to play Florida. They're playing they're playing Minnesota. That's a big game. They've got three games against Minnesota in the last 17 games of the season. So I'll be very curious to see what happens tonight. You're going to learn a lot about this team, I think. You've learned a lot about them already. You're going to learn even more about them tonight based on what happens. Even if they don't win, as long as they show up, that's a step in the right direction.
Chase, what do you make of it?
No, I echo what Adam says. I think that's a very good point. Look, this team has to look at themselves in the mirror, and John Hines is a part of it as the head coach, and I appreciate that honesty and that ownership, but he inherited this too. I mean, there were obviously some issues that while they've improved in some areas, they still show their ugly face on occasion. And last night is a prime example. And it is, I think this is a question that David Poile has to answer. It's a question that the players in that room have to answer of why does this veteran group continue to have these patches where, okay, things look really, really good. And then they just, we're just going to skate tonight. We're just going to go through the motions and see what happens. And, you know, no athlete is ever going to admit that that's what they're doing. But if you watch the games and you have a set of eyes, you can see that that's exactly what it was. And they were playing a team with two of the best players in the league right now. And they showed up and, according to their head coach, wanted to play an easy game. Like, that's insulting. That's insulting as, as a fan and anyone that went to that game last night on a Monday night, knowing that, by the way, the crowd was pretty good. And knowing that the storms were coming and everything on a Monday night, a school night, they show up. And then they start leaving halfway through the third period because the wheels fell off. And so I think that, for him to say that, well, for whatever reason, we wanted to play an easy game, that's a shot. And that, if you're a player, maybe you're insulted, maybe you don't like hearing that, but you know what? The truth hurts.
I mean, you look
learn something from it.
One thing that stands out to me, and I was thinking about this last night, and I pulled it back up. So recall that the Predators started last season 13-3, right? Would you like to know what their record is in the regular season since they started 13-3, the rest of last season and this season so far?
What's that?
66-51-14. That's 66 victories and 65 losses. I mean, they are the epitome of a 500 team for the past year and a half.
Yeah.
And we've seen that this season. I mean, Rocco Grimaldi talked about it a week and a half ago about the win two, lose two, win three, lose three. They are the epitome of a 500 team. And their record over the past year and a half, since they started 13-3 last season, they are a 500. They are barely above 500. So, I mean, this team has been like this. It wasn't just this season. It was last season. And it could be argued that if they did not start last season 13-3, they would have missed the playoffs. So, this team has been average for a long time now. And it's up to somebody to figure it out, but no one has yet.
I think, to your point, tonight is going to be very interesting to see how they respond to this. How do they respond to what happened last night? How they respond to how their head coach addressed what happened last night. And you said come out angry. And I think I agree with you, Adam, but I think what's interesting
Well, that's what Roman said, but I agree.
Yes. And we played those comments. But how many times have they come out and kicked somebody's teeth in?
I'll give you
one team.
The Islanders.
The Islanders.
Both times.
Like the Islanders, both times they have destroyed.
Yes.
But how many games, I mean, wins are great. And I get it. 2 points is 2 points, just like last night. Last night you don't get negative points because of last night. It just counts as a loss. You got no points. Like there's no style points in wins or losses. But I'm just bringing up what you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Like how many games can you name where they came out and you went, wow, like that was a statement.
Not
I said
very
the
many.
Two Islander games, what did they score? 8-5. So they scored 13. What was it? I think they outscored the Islanders 13-3 in the two games this year.
Yes.
Like that was
right.
Impressive. Islanders are a very good team. Now give me some other examples.
It's hard to come up with them off the top of your head. The one thing about the Predators that this group, not just this season, but I feel like in the last couple of years, is that they need to be slapped in the face to play. And what I mean by that is they need another team to kick their rear end in order to get theirs in gear. Like that's not a recipe for success. I mean, they do have their moments where they come out, as we talked about, guns blazing, and they play really well. But more often than not, they've got to get socked in the mouth before they, Hulk up, to use the wrestling term, Chase. And and that's a problem. Like, you should not let another team kicking your butt dictate whether or not you're going to start playing or not. And that's the issue. I mean, I often just feel like they have to get punched in the mouth before they start playing, and that's why they've been the way they are.
Now, was that a Hulk Hogan or the Hulk?
That was a Hulk Hogan.
I was
going to
say, because that would be his reference. Right. The Hulk would be my reference.
Either way, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Okay. But he didn't turn green.
No. I'm not green.
I do want to pass along this. Edley's Barbecue is handing out free barbecue sandwiches at East Nashville, or to the East Nashville
Delicious.
Community.
Delicious.
Which that is a really, really nice gesture. So really cool. Edley's Barbecue handing out free barbecue sandwiches on Main Street in the to the East Nashville community. We will come back and wrap up Tuesday's show next. Seen a lot of pictures of Vanderbilt baseball team helping out in the community. No shock. Tim Corbin, Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame person, and his kids are no different. So really cool to see the Vanderbilt baseball team with cases of water, and I see these cases of, like, you know, potato chips,
yep,
those variety packs, food and drinks, helping out folks who have been devastated by the tornadoes that have hit our area. Adam Vindgen from The Athletic is in here. So this is a huge week, Adam, when mm-hmm. you think about 17 to go, counting tonight. Minnesota, Dallas. These are all division games. These are all playoff teams this week. So how do you think they're going to respond? And, oh, by the way, Thursday here is going to be the first time with Ryan Ellis in the lineup that they're going to see the Stars since the Winter Classic.
And I know, you know, I'm a big picture kind of guy. And I even look at the schedule next week, too. I mean, they've got some tough games on that road trip.
Yep.
Toronto comes to mind. They play Columbus next weekend. Gave them a game recently here. I really do think that, as I was saying before the break, that tonight is going to really tell you a lot. And it's easy to say that over 82 games, you're going to have a lot of those games where you're like, this is the game that's going to tell you a lot about this team. And we've had like 15 or 20 of those games this year. But I really do think that tonight is one. Like I said, preferably they win and they win convincingly. They get the bad taste out of their mouth. And then we forget about yesterday as much as one can. But even if they lose tonight, as long as they put together as close to a complete effort as possible, or even any effort. Well, I'll take any effort. At least you can sort of feel good about it. But they need to win. You know, Minnesota has been playing well. Kevin Fiala, first star of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Ellis was the second star of the week. They're right on their tail. I mean, this is the classic four-point game. The Predators, with a regulation win, can go 3 points up on Minnesota. If they lose, they fall out of the playoffs, and Minnesota jumps them. Big swing. So, you know, this is the biggest game of the season to date. And again, it's easy to say that over the course of 82 games, and you say it a lot. But, you know, after the things that John Hines said last night, the things the players said last night, they better get their rear ends in gear, because if they don't, they're going to have some serious issues.
Yep, I agree with that. I mean, if they don't respond tonight, then, you know, that is not a very good look on anybody. And I think that, you know, John Hines is going to try and have them ready to go. And, you know, if they got to come out mad, whatever they got to do, look at themselves in the mirror, just come out and get it done.
I wonder if there's going to be anything. What do you think the mood is going to be Thursday night with the Stars? Do you think there'll be any? A lot of people have been wondering, will there be, you know, Corey Perry thing? Is there going to be some weirdness, you think?
Well, what's funny is I remember having this conversation with Rex Road before the first game against St. Louis about whether or not there was going to be any comeuppance for Robert Bortuzzo,
right,
even though it had been so far removed, and there was. So I think Ryan Ellis, as he said when he first came back, would like to deliver a nice open ice hip check to Corey Perry and get it out of the way. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a little extracurricular tomorrow.
Well, you could see Victor Arvidsson hadn't forgotten the hit,
right,
in that first matchup against St. Louis. All right, Adam, thanks so much for coming in. Glad everything is okay where you're at.
Yes, thank you. And I hope everyone listening is doing okay.
Adam Vindgen from The Athletic, that's where you can find his work. That will indeed do it for us here today. Appreciate everybody out there. And we're thinking about you. If you've been affected by what went through our city last night, and we'll continue to help and pass along anything we've got the rest of the week and as long as we need to. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Love you, Nashville.